All right. Luke 12, verse 30. Let's just put it in context again. I'm going to read from 22 down to 30. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat or food, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to a stature one cubit? If you be not able to do that thing which is least, why take you thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, and they toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which today is in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth you have need of these things. But now, we're at verse 30. So let's...
I have a comment on 29. I looked it up in the Strong's, and I couldn't find anything about being puffed up. I found what was the word again for doubtful mind?
Meteorizomai.
Yeah, that's the one I looked at, and it
was looked
like
in the wrong place.
It looked fluctuating. No, it was a fluctuating.
Well, it means that, but it means because you're being puffed up and up and down, fluctuating. It's not stable. I'll show it to you, Pete. And I'm not looking at Strong's.
Okay.
There's much better ones than Strong's.
I'd like to see it in the one you look at.
All right.
We talked about it last night, and Judy was teaching, and she found elevated.
Yeah, it's the same as puffed up.
So, yeah, you got to... probably use different words to get the fullness of it, but a puffed up mind, an elevated mind, what'd you say?
Elevated like part of the word was like a meteor, but elevated and fluctuating.
Fluctuating
was the main.
That's...
All right. Well, anyway, I didn't see anything about puffed up. That's all. Okay.
You're to be commended, Pete.
What do you think elevated means?
Elevated means, it doesn't.
In your mind.
Elevated means you're.
But right. I didn't see. I thought she said when you looked at the definition that it meant puffed up, like. But elevated, I see that. I definitely see that.
I would like to answer that. Elevated probably refers to the seven high places.
That's good. All right.
Thank you.
Verse 30, the nations of the world seek all these things. And that's why there's nothing that the world does, there's nothing that the world esteems, there's nothing that the world fears that has anything to do with us. We don't fear what they fear, we don't want what they want, we don't esteem what they want, we esteem what they esteem. We don't concern ourselves with what we eat or don't drink or... It's we take no thought because all the nations of the world do those things. So the whole thing is coming down to the next verse. Verse 31. And 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Because of that, it says, sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not, old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither doth moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Let's look at a couple places to talk why he uses flock. Let's go in Acts 20. Well, that's not, I mean, I didn't say that right. Throughout the Old Testament, Israel is compared to sheep. And so a flock of sheep. Now in the New Testament, he continues what he calls the true Israel is now the flock. And so in Acts 20, verse 27, he's talking to the Ephesians, and he said, "For I have not shunned," or stopped, or "for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God," or the full counsel of God. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." But let's look at Isaiah 53 so we cement it in terms of why he calls us flocks. Pardon?
Did I hear 30?
Isaiah 53. You may have heard 30, but it was another voice that was speaking.
30:23.
"Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm or the strength or the seed of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces, from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All we, like sheep, have gone astray." Now, how does a sheep get lost? We've talked about this before, but it's one blade of grass at a time. One seemingly insignificant eating of one thing, and then slowly but surely, you don't speak about it, you don't question it, you just slowly, one blade of grass at a time, and you become a lost sheep. Amen?
Yeah.
So that's why, that's primarily that and a couple others we won't go into, or why, because all we like sheep have gone astray.
And that's individual and corporate, I suppose.
Sure.
That's where the pastors get in trouble.
What's the
That's why the pastors are, have a tremendous responsibility.
Right, because they lead the flock astray by preaching
something other than the cross.
Perverse doctrines.
I would not like to have that responsibility.
Let's look at one more. 1 Peter. Yeah, that's a good one. Chapter 5, I'm sorry. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also are partakers of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, nor for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's flock, but being examples to the flock. Now, not for filthy lucre. That's why the pastors in the first century, there was no such thing as paid clergy.
So lucre? Filthy lucre?
Lucre is money.
There's lucre and filthy lucre.
No, there's I think there's just one word. Lucre means filthy money.
No.
But I don't know. Pete can look it up.
All right.
Probably it just says dirty money instead of filthy. All right?
Yeah.
So how do we... This is a biggie. Remember, an overseer is just... he's called a bishop. But a bishop isn't a big deal. It's over two or more Seder groups. So it's just... it's a teeny little thing. Now we got bishops that run around in dresses and wear gold.
You know, the mind thinks of a bishop as an elevated position, but spiritually it's a position.
A servant.
You're a servant of those people, not an overseer in the sense that your mind would like it to be. At last, I'm an overseer.
All right, let's go back to Luke. We're going to spend some time in the next one. Verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The reason that we take no thought for anything and have no concern about money or lack of money or whatever is because in Him, on the mercy seat, we are at the first source of all things. We own all things. All things exist for our purpose. And therefore, anything that you perceive as lack is God's chastisement. But it's never lack, as you would think about it.
Yeah, it's never a something that is essential for you.
Well-being.
It's essential that God's economy. It's essential for.
Well, he's yeah. It's chastisement if you see it. So I mean, it's a. There's absolutely no. There's no merit that we took a vow of poverty, or I did, and then. People that worked for me did. But it's only, I did it because I know my own greed. that I could get seduced easily if that wasn't the case. It's you know, it's just crazy. I mean, it violates everything that our mind says to us about it. We think we need to protect ourselves. We need to have security and all that crap. But my God, we are sitting on the first source of everything that exists. Can you see that for a minute? There's no possibility of having a need. Unless the whole thing is full of crap. But it seems to me that it would be good for you to find this out now, if the whole thing is full of crap. If it's just a fairy tale. You understand?
Can't take it with you.
Huh?
You can't take it with you. It's certainly temporary.
Kind of hard one to swallow for me. I know I'm full of crap. I never thought my life and the world was too.
Yeah, but
I would hope that through my repentance or my death, that something's revealed that's more than dust and dung and crap.
Yeah, the only thing that's revealed is Jesus Christ in you.
Hopefully that's not dust and dung and crap.
You hope that's not crap?
It's not.
But see, we always, no matter, that's why the Jebusites, remember, they're the last enemy, the last inhabitants of the high place. And that is so strong that it is nigh unto impossible by any natural means to get to overcome it. And that's hope. And hope in English means the expectation of some good thing. For us, the only good thing is the resurrection of Christ in us. Now that one is, if you have any integrity, that's hard. That's what's hard to swallow. If all hope that we have is centered only in the resurrection in us, then my God, what does that mean to me? That's what I hated when I first saw it. I didn't. This wasn't overjoy time. As soon as I came to my senses, I said, "What the hell happened to me?" That's why I spent all those years trying to prove that it was wrong. It's not an easy thing to see this thing of hope. On and on and on. Again, in Isaiah, you are wearied in the greatness of your way. Yet, you sayeth not, there is no hope. For you found the life of your own hand, the hope of your own activity. Therefore, you're not grieved to repentance. And it goes on over and over and over, and it goes on over and over after your conversion. You still have this issue of hope, and that has to be, it has to be seen as empty and meaningless and valueless. But until then, you'll be seduced by it. Oh, I hope this. Oh, I wish I had a girlfriend. Oh, I hope. Oh, I wish this. Oh, I wish. By the way, I don't wish I had a girlfriend. I didn't. I was saying that for you. Did you see the strength of hope as a deceiver?
I always thought hope was a good thing.
Huh?
We thought it was a good thing.
I didn't hear you right.
You thought it was a good thing.
I thought it was a good thing.
That hope was a good thing?
Yeah.
No, it's an evil thing.
Because
the word hope in the Bible is only set in the resurrection of Christ in you. He's the fulfillment of every hope. He's your heart's desire. He's everything.
Isn't it for a believer a done deal?
What?
It's not a hope anymore, it's a fact.
Well, you know, there's a thousand people, a billion people that think they're believers that still have hope and all kinds of crap in the world.
How about the women?
Huh?
How about in this room?
Well, I don't know. That's why we're talking about it. Do you have an expectation of some good thing outside of the resurrection? Then you're deceived.
So I guess hope. If I have hope for tomorrow or next week or next year, I'm denying the perfection of his
hope.
Dying on the cross.
You're denying the meaning of hope. You're gone again. You're gone a whoring again.
So I'm denying my perfection.
You're denying that you've been perfected by one offering.
I'm denying that where I am at this point
is perfect.
It's perfect. It's ordained. It's what it is.
So that's what seduces you, or that's what the evil one, how he seduces you, to resurrect himself from the dead. And then you wonder why things get screwed up. Because once the evil one is resurrected, then nothing.
I look back on my life, and if I had known this a long time ago, very possibly my life wouldn't have been defined by money or success or girlfriends or cars or whatever.
No, it couldn't have happened until you come to the end of those things.
And that if I'd only known that true peace and perfection is my death, and evidenced by living each day in peace and rest and contentment instead of the daily turmoil of what people do or don't do, or what I do or don't do, or expectations that aren't met, or it's raining humid, or the damn car didn't start, all these things that throw you off, basically turn you away from him, and you allow the being in the world affecting your peace and rest.
Yeah, but listen, everything that you went through, you had to go through. He wrought all your works in you. You couldn't have done it any differently.
I still do it, but I'm hopeful. I said hope. I pray that there's more repentance and less contemplation.
Amen.
Yeah, you're just trying to create a perfect life. When you're walking with God, there's going to be suffering and pain and sorrow and chastisement, or you're a bastard, not a son.
No, I've had more crap happen to me since I've been a believer than I ever did. You know, I had some stuff happen before, but this has been crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just this last year has been crazy.
So that's kind of like the prosperity gospel. If you come to God, your life will be glorious.
No.
Yeah.
That's not the point. The point is you have perfect peace in all of it.
Yeah.
No matter what it is.
Perfect peace and whatever is, you say, stately, good or bad.
Said I've learned to be abased, I've learned to abound. Doesn't matter. All those things, it's the same thing.
Your life's not this world system.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Carolyn and I talk about it every time bills are due. I mean, we've been like this ever for 42 years. We never had any money until just, you know, with one exception, we had a bunch of money for one period of time. I forget. But anyway, it's been that way for since the beginning of Trinity. Well, that must mean we're not doing the will of God, because well, God, you'd be blessed. Oh, God, I hate that.
It sounds good.
No, it's just, it's more evil. Just to stop, I mean, just to know that you know that everything in your life had to happen exactly as it did, and that you're in you have been perfected by his one offering, no matter what it looks like, no matter how it feels. And there's then when you see these things, then nothing can draw you away. Nothing can, you stop whoring around. But it has to be, that's why it's the renewing of your mind. Your mind has to be renewed to see the emptiness of everything else. This is why and that's not an easy task, as most of you know. But don't think that you can do this thing without repentance. The repentance is the common denominator in every step.
Yeah, there's no doing it right.
Well, of course not. You can see that. I've done nothing right except preach, I hope, I pray. No, you have to die constantly.
By dying constantly or repenting daily or many times daily, I would think that at least you are less inclined to repeat the same stupid transgressions over and over and over.
Yeah, I mean that's what the renewal of the mind is about.
One would think.
Yeah, it's like the Kol Nidre. Every year, people say the exact same thing. Because you confessed or whatever. Now I'm going to change and become a better person. Do the right things.
No, but you do see the emptiness of repeating the same thing. I pray.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why it's burned. So it has no more power over you.
Then why do you do it the next year, same confession?
Well, I don't know that you do.
Listen in.
Well, I'm saying that it's the whole idea of sanctification and of the renewal of your mind is so you don't get seduced by the same thing over and over again. That's what sanctification is about. But if you're in your mind, you haven't repented of it, then of course you're going to repeat it, because that's the open door to the evil one. But it's not being you becoming anything, but you're perfected in him. You don't want the same things. You don't esteem the same things.
And then you can learn what transgression is.
Well, you learn the difference between sin and trespass. Sin is you. It's periodically will screw up, but that's trespass. But as long as you're still giving breath to your life, then sin reigns in your mortal body. We didn't get to where I wanted to get, but that's life. Anybody have any other response?
I'm back in.
Filthy because it makes you as the vessel unclean.
Yeah. And you've given yourself over to, which is very common.
So hope feels, you're hoping for something good to happen to you.
Hope in English means the expectation of some good thing. That's not in here at all. Except for one, the good thing is the resurrection of Christ in you. That's the only way hope is used in the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, it only uses hope once, and that's when you're being put in as the secret place of the Most High, which is hope.
I love that scripture where it says, and your Father delights or whatever in giving you the kingdom. And if that's where your life is, then it flourishes.
Right, but that's what I had hoped to get to today is that one. So we didn't make it because it's Pete's and Jeff's fault and maybe a little bit Ronnie's. Take a big guy. And it's probably the real one is probably Carolyn. Because she's not happy because it's cold.